I'm now joined on the line by Martin Sherman, founder of the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies and a seasoned voice on Middle East security. In his recent article, Iran, State Disintegration, Not Regime Change, Sherman argues that dismantling Iran into regional entities and not toppling its regime is the most stable path forward. Well, we'll dig into his analysis right now. And Martin, thanks so much for joining us. You argue that Iran should be broken up and not just have its regime replaced. Why do you think that is the safer or smarter option?
Well, let me be clear. I'm not against regime change. I think regime change is a necessary but not sufficient condition. The sufficient condition is to dismantle Iran, so it cannot be what it was. You know, the strange thing or the sad thing about the Middle East is that the benign assumptions never work out as a basis for policy. Every time we've based policy on the benign assumption of the other side, it's always come back to bite us, whether it was in Oslo or the disengagement or leaving Sinai, et cetera, et cetera.
But isn't there a risk that breaking Iran apart could unleash chaos or even worse actors than the current regime?
Yeah, but none of them with the military reach and the ideology that the current one has got. One of the common mistakes that Westerners make, both in Gaza and in Iran, is that somehow there is this benign population which has been taken over by a cruel and callous regime. But that's not really true. As I think I said before in the program, in Gaza, the population wasn't the victim of the terrorist leadership. It was the crucible in which it was formed and the incubator from which it emerged. And much of the same is in Iran. You remember, the Shah wasn't deposed by some nefarious opposing elite. He was run out of office by popular clamor. I know two people who were in the embassy when this broke out. The one was the representative of the Ministry of Defense in Tehran, and the other one was the representative of the Mossad in Tehran. And I remind listeners that Iran and Israel were very close allies. There were flights every week. Israeli companies were engaged construction enterprises. There was even military cooperation between the two armies. But that was between the leadership and Israel. It wasn't between the people and Israel. And there are a lot of nice and successful Iranians around the world. I mean, if you go down Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills, you'll find a lot of offices there belonging to Iranians. You'll find a lot of stores belonging to Iranians. But that's not the picture of Iran. I'm sure that the Iranian population may regret that they brought this regime to power, but that doesn't change it, and there's no guarantee that any regime change will bring anything more benign towards Israel. No guarantee at all. And even if it does, who's going to guarantee how long it will endure? If you really want to defang Iran, it has to be broken up into smaller parts, none of which can ever become what it's been up to now.
Martin, you wrote in your article, which was in the JNS.org, which stands for Jewish News Syndicate.org, you mentioned 1953 and the fallout from foreign meddling. What makes this situation different today or just as dangerous?
Well, simply because I don't think we should install the regime. In 1953, before, when they tried to install this, the Shah, and he wasn't such a gentle and courteous gentleman himself. I mean, they had a very vigorous secret police, I think it was called the Sabi or something, which was also, imposed its will violently on any dissenters. It's not that before the Shah was our dictator, but he was still a dictator. So there's no real tradition of democratic rule in Iran. Why would you want to bet the farm on that?
If he ran,
you know, I don't follow that. It's unfortunately, you know, there's a flaw in liberal thinking. You know, they tell us we have to recognize the diversity of humanity, and then in the same breath, they tell us we have to treat everyone equally. You know, which basically empties the first statement of any meaning, because if you treat everyone equally, whether it's a wide-eyed Ayatollah preaching death to the infidel, or a mild-mannered pastor with the horn-rimmed glasses preaching brotherhood and love, why would you treat those people equally? You have to tailor your policy to your adversary. And I think in many ways it's wishful thinking, both in Gaza and in Iran, that somehow there's going to be someone just like you, perhaps with a slightly darker skin tone, but basically it'll be the same. But that's not true. That's not true.
Martin, if Iran did start to fragment, whether or not by design, how would you think Israel should position itself? Should it engage? Should it stay out? Or should it prepare for...
You know, I think it should engage in a constructive way, the way they tried to do with the Kurds. I mean, you know, if anyone deserves an independent state, it's the Kurds. And it should be supported by the West. And then you have the Azeris, who are the biggest ethnic non-Persian ethnic group in Iran, and they're adjacent to Azerbaijan, so they could either be allied with or federated with. I mean, and Israel has excellent relations with Azerbaijan, so I think they could engage them on different levels. I mean, those are the major groups that are candidates for breaking away, the Kurds and the Azeris. If they do, maybe the Baluchis and the Arabs and the others will follow suit. But once you do that, Iran's a completely different thing, and the central regime will have its mind occupied by dealing with the secession. We won't have time to deal with the foreign adventures, especially now that their proxies, apart from the Yemenis, who shoot a rocket a week, but apart from them, all of their proxies who were supposed to create this ring of fire around Israel have gone. So they don't have all that many options on the table, and they've been proven to be totally transparent to Israeli intelligence. That's what I think they should do. They should engage these different entities separately, respecting their ethnic identity, and help them build their states.